Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, April 26th, and we're glad to be able to send this out. We are down at the Big Catfish Fry in Paris, Tennessee. But I've got two good songs queued up right here, and I'm going to go right to the message. Here's the Raines family singing for us, and then the message. All right, I hope that was a blessing to you, and we're going to get ready to move into our message today. The message for this week is from Revelation chapter number 2, and we're dealing with the church at Smyrna and God's message to them there. And so I hope that will be a blessing to you as we look at this. We're dealing with what we call the admiration. God has some good things to say about the church at Sardis, and so I hope these will be a blessing to you. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 8, and I read down through verse number 11. The Bible says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." He took notice of their enemies that warred against the church. Those who claim that those spoken of in our verse are actually Jews in the flesh, they argue that only one group of people in history ever claimed to be Jews. Notice verse 9, Jesus said, "I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews." You see that phrase? They claim to be Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Here's what they say. They say no group in history ever claimed to be Jews. No German ever claimed to be Jew. No Roman ever claimed to be a Jew. No Arab ever claimed to be a Jew. They say nobody ever claimed to be Jews, but Jews in the flesh that said, "We have Abraham to our father." And then they go on to say that nobody ever worshiped in a synagogue except Jews. Only Jews gather to worship in a building that they call a synagogue. Huh. There are groups of Christians who like to adopt Jewish tradition and even Jewish garb, Jewish sayings. They celebrate all kinds of things from the Old Testament. They even begin to call themselves Jews and to begin to celebrate Jewish feasts and to graft in all these things of Judaism into their Christianity. Some of them go so far as to call their pastor Rabbi and to call their church building a synagogue. As a matter of fact, Christ has a name for these, what these false Jews are doing. He calls it blasphemy. Did you notice that? Verse 9, "I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." Jesus called it blasphemy. I believe that is exactly what Jesus would call these false Jews today that are trying to bring in Judaism. You know what they're doing? They're trampling underfoot the blood of Christ. Now all of a sudden they need turtle doves. Now all of a sudden they need lambs. Now all of a sudden they need rams and bullocks and another sacrifice. That's trampling underfoot the blood of Christ. I believe that is blasphemous to our Lord. Amen. We don't need to adopt Judaism to Christianity. We need to follow Christ. Amen. Our whole life ought to be wrapped up in Christ. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." He was one of the biggest Jews that ever was, but he saw the falseness in their religion. Amen. And so this crowd that's trying to blend the church with Judaism, I think Jesus would call it blasphemy. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul faced that very thing in the book of Galatians. If you want to turn with me, I'll show you some things. Galatians chapter number 3 is where I'll start. We'll jump around in it. Paul faced, I believe, this very thing. The church at Galatia had started trying to adapt the law, works, circumcision. to Christianity. Paul didn't pull any punches in his letter to this church at Galatia. Matter of fact, he called what they were doing, he called them being bewitched. He said they believed another gospel. He said they sought to make void the death of Christ. And he went on and said that those who pushed such false doctrine ought to be accursed. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That's the phrase that he used. That ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Paul said, if you're turning away from Christ and turning back to the legal system of Judaism, you've been bewitched. That's the word he used. It's hard, but that's the word he used. Look at chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. You see that? Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says that you've turned to another gospel. It's not another. It's a false gospel. It's a perverted gospel is what he's saying. Look at chapter 2, verse number 21. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He said, what you're doing by trying to mix Judaism with Christianity is you are calling Christ's death void and vain, useless. He said, you have been bewitched and you have perverted the gospel of Christ. Now, look back at chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Look at verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So Paul said, this crowd that's trying to blur the lines between Christianity and Judaism. By the way, I want Jews to get saved, but they don't get saved reading the Torah and the Talmud. And I don't need to read the Torah and the Talmud. I've got a Bible. Amen. Jews get saved by coming to Christ. They'll have to accept the Messiah. Amen. I saw a little video clip of a man that is a Jew, and he said this. He said, the Messiah is coming. He said, we're praying for the Messiah come who will unite all people, who will bring world peace, who will have everybody bow to His image. And he said, you call it the second coming. We call it the first coming. Who cares? Let's pray for Christ to come. Well, I care because he's not praying about my Christ. He's praying about Antichrist. And they'll fall for that stuff because they have blurred and perverted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, here's where I'm going with that. Paul took a strong stand, and now John, it looks like, is taking a strong stand. Of course, it's the Lord saying it, but the Lord said, this crowd that says they're Jews, but they're not Jews, he said, they are of the synagogue of Satan. They are of their father, the devil. That's what he's saying about them. Amen. So he said they're of the synagogue of Satan. This indicates that they were being wicked adversaries. Satan is an adversary to the Lord and to His church. They were being wicked adversaries to the church and to the Lord. Certainly those born into Jewish families at that time were fighting against Christ and against His church. For this, it could be declared by Christ to be of the synagogue of Satan, since he, Satan, was a murderer from the beginning. I say this, Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ came unto his own received him not. Amen. He's not utterly cast off Israel. We looked at that when we studied the book of Malachi. He's not utterly cast off Israel. Amen. But he has allowed this wild olive branch to be grafted in, thank God, by his grace. But Jews will only get saved. Jews will only recognize salvation if they come to Jesus Christ. I remember I read the issue, Charisma magazine sent me one issue. I've only ever had one in my life. It was an issue that had an interview with John Hagee. John Hagee's got a big group, by the way, calling Christians and Israel United. And here's what he said, and they've got it in black and white documented. John Hagee said, he said, we're not trying to convert Jews. Jews don't need to be converted.
He said they've already got a covenant with God that was here before Christ came, and they don't need Christ. Now I say, wait just a minute, Mr. Hagee. If they didn't need Christ, why did He come unto His own if they didn't need Him? Why did He go to Calvary? Amen. Why did He stand over the city and weep and say, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Why would He say those things if Jews didn't need to be saved? They do need to be saved. And by the way, somebody needs to be trying to convert them. Amen. I would lean to the interpretation that these people in Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, are people who claim to be Christians, actually false Christians. They claim to be part of the family, part of the faith. And they sought, I believe, and whether they were Jews in the flesh or not, I don't know. Could very well have been. But they sought to infiltrate the church, infiltrate the assembling of the saints, only for the purpose that they might bring in the authorities and bring in the soldiers and bring down the work of Christ. And they were just implanted spies and hypocrites and workers of iniquity to try to destroy the church from the inside. And I'm telling you, we better watch out for that. That is exactly what the world's going to try to do, what the devil's going to try to do. But Jesus said, I know every one of them. Amen. He said, I know them. I know where they're at. I know what they're doing. Thank God. I'm not saying we need to be watching. We do, in a sense. But we need to try to get people in. But at the same time, we need to try to get them truly converted to Christ. Amen. Well, this would definitely be blasphemy for those who were actually allied with Satan to pretend to be allied with Christ only for the cause to bring him trouble and to bring the church trouble. These people were actually children of the devil, and they were of the gathering of the devil, therefore the synagogue of Satan, and they were there to seek to destroy Christ and Christianity and to murder saints. You remember I told you the story this morning about Polycarp's death and how that they came for him. He heard they were coming. He fled. But here's what history says. He was discovered by a child. A child saw him. And the children had been taught by the Roman government to turn in anybody that was of the way of Christ. That sounds familiar, don't it? The children had been taught by the authorities to point out and to denounce anybody that was of the way of Christ. So a little child found Polycarp and pointed him out, and Polycarp went to his death because of that little child. I'm saying this, listen folks, we're in a dangerous day. These are dark days, but I'm glad I've got a Father in heaven and a Lord on high who said, I know what's going on, I know where you're at, and I'm in charge of it all. Amen. One last thing, and I'm almost done. Well, two last things, and I'm almost done. Another interesting fact that I see is Christ's choice of words in verse 9. Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. His choice of words. He used the word blasphemy. It's Strong's number 988, the Greek word used in the New Testament. And it's a word that means vilification, especially against God. It is translated in the King James Bible as blasphemy, as evil speaking, and as railing. And that is exactly what the Antichrist is going to be doing in Revelation chapter 13. If you'd read those first six verses, blasphemy and blaspheming is spoken over and over and over. The Antichrist is going to speak with great swelling words and hard speeches towards God, and he's going to blaspheme God in the sight of all of them. How many? We're living in a day when there's more blasphemy than I've ever heard. People's talk is so evil, so crude, so rude. Amen. God help us. But we're living there. Jesus called that blasphemy. That's what the Antichrist will be doing. That's what he was doing then. That's what he's doing now. The point I want to make here is that Christ sees and approves of his church. When he said, I know your works, he's saying, I approve of them. When he said, I know your tribulation, he said, I approve of the way you're going through it. When he said, I know your poverty, and yet you're rich, he said, I approve of the fact that you recognize that spiritual poverty is much worse than physical poverty. And that spiritual riches are much better and more to be desired than physical riches. Amen. He said, I see all that. I approve of it. But he also sees and hears what is being said by those who are not real Christians. They're only disguised children of the devil. he records what they're saying as blasphemy. It's related again in Revelation chapter 3. Look at verse 9, if you will, with me. We'll read this verse, and I'm closing. Revelation 3, 9. This is the church at Philadelphia, and these folks are mentioned again. By the way, the only other church that didn't receive any fussing, only approval. He said, verse 9, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee." Amen. Jesus said, I've got them in hand. They may be doing things, and you may think it's out of hand, but I've got them in control. And one of these days, I'm going to bring them down and they're going to bow. Amen. Now, in conclusion, let me say this. We ought to take notice that just as surely as Christ and His church are in the world today, Christ has a church in the world today. The devil has synagogues in the world today. If Christ talked about that, and here's what I personally believe. I personally believe this gathering, the word synagogue means a gathering, an assembly. It's a very similar word to the word church that is translated church in the Greek. They're very similar words. I believe this, that Jesus would not call what they're doing, He wouldn't call it a church. He called it a synagogue. Amen. And I'm telling you that He said just as sure as Christ has His churches in the world today, the devil has his churches, but we won't even call them churches, his synagogues, his gatherings everywhere. Satan is working overtime in religion. Amen. And in religious actions. He is busy promoting blatant Satanism. That's going on. They openly worship the devil. But he's also busy working in other false religions, such as Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, atheism, and modern Judaism. And even in some so-called Christian cults, such as Mormonism, Catholicism, Jehovah's Witness, Scientology, and almost every brand of mainstream, quote-unquote, Christianity. I believe the devil's working hard in these areas. Why is he working? He's trying to infiltrate the true church that he might weed us out so he can raise up the Antichrist. But I'm glad one of these days we're pulling out of here. Antichrist can come when he wants to. Amen. Because Jesus is going to pull us out of here. Thank God. Amen. If you can hear the truth today, you better embrace it. You better cherish it. Because it's going to become increasingly rare. It is rare now. But it's going to become increasingly more rare. If the Spirit speaks to you today, you better heed Him when He calls. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.
Well, friend, that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. But I hope and pray if the Lord is speaking to you today, as I said, it's going to get increasingly harder for people to hear the voice of God. I believe it's going to get increasingly less and less frequent for people to hear from heaven. If He's speaking to you today, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart. Surrender your heart to God. Reach out to Him. I'll tell you what, if you'll reach out to Him, you'll find Him reaching out to you. You can be saved. You can be strengthened. You can be forgiven. You can be a child of God. Amen. Well, as I said, that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you have a great weekend. Hope you have a good day in the Lord's house on the Lord's day as well. And until next Monday, God bless you is our prayer.